Well, today I want to finish up on my messages on vision. And, you know, over the past few messages, I have tried to demonstrate where we have come from, what were the motivating factors behind some of the things and the decisions that we have made and ministries that have been launched. And it's really hard to do in just a few hours of time on a Sunday morning, but many of you lived with us through those times and those changes. And it's kind of like a fat guy like me might lose 50 pounds, and everybody who knows me says, "Boy, you're looking good, Pastor. Keep it up." But somebody who doesn't know me sees it and says, "Boy, you need to lose 50 pounds, you know?" And so they didn't see where it came from. There was not the before picture. And so what I tried to give you a snapshot over the last few messages of the before picture and some of the things that the Holy Spirit spoke to us. Because how many know that the Holy Spirit still breathes vision into the hearts and the minds of leaders and of people? That we can see something as it is and say that, and when the Holy Spirit stirs your heart, you say, "This is the way it is. This is the reality. But this is the way it could be." See, when the Holy Spirit directs us and gives us vision and gives us ideas and momentum is on our side. And so the scriptures plainly teach that where there is no vision, the people perish. But where there is vision, there is power, there is faith, you see. And when there is a vision also, and this is my title of my message today, is when there's a vision, you need God. Because it's one thing to have a vision and have something that inspires you, but it's another thing to bring it to pass, to get it off the drawing board and into reality. And I am surrounded as a team leader. I'm not an autocratic leader, a pastor, but I am surrounded by people who balance out my weaknesses. And I have a lot of weaknesses. And they have a lot of strengths that couple together, and together we make a great team. You see, you might have a great idea or a good idea, but when we get input from others in leadership, it becomes a great idea because they add value to it. They say, "What? That's a good idea, Pastor, but what if we did this?" And see, that's what we do here, and that's what, you know, why things God just has blessed is because we're a team and God speaks to us as a team. You know, I'm looking forward to the day ahead, and I look back and I think, you know, and you know, over the past few times, I've shared about wonderful things that have happened here at Calvary, but, you know, there's greater things that lay ahead of us. You know, God's not done. He hasn't put the end at the end of our story. There's still chapters to be written and generations, I believe, until Jesus comes, that are going to be a part of Calvary Church that carry this ministry and this vision to the next level and to the next level beyond that. Isaiah chapter 43:19 says, "Behold, I will do," God will do, God saying this through the prophet, "that I will do a new thing." It doesn't say Pastor Tim's going to do a new thing. That might be kind of scary. That might be good too. You don't know. But when God says it, it's exciting. There's power in that. And he says, "Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And there are, listen to me, people in this community, in our community where we live, our neighbors living, as it were, spiritually in a desert. They're living in the sand and in the dust and in the barren land. And God says that, listen, when I breathe on you and I give you vision and a passion for souls, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have a passion for what I have passion about. You're going to love people that I love. I'm going to give you a supernatural ability to love people and see what I see in them. Because people in the kingdom of God is his real treasure. It's not the gold and the jewels and the pearl gates. Those are things that God can speak into existence. But what he loves more than anything else is people. That's why he built heaven. That's why he created such a beautiful environment, was for his people that he has redeemed by the hand of his mercy and through the blood of his son. And so God says there's people living in a wilderness, and they're living in a desert, but the living water, the power of the Holy Spirit, the gospel of Jesus Christ will bring about an incredible fertile ground in those areas that they can find out what you found out is that God is awesome. God loves us. Amen. So we ask the question about what kind of a church do we want to be, and ultimately we say, what kind of a church does God want us to be? And we came up with a few, and I'm not going to be in an exhausting list here. I covered some of them over the previous weeks, but we are unashamedly Pentecostal. You know, we're not embarrassed about it. In fact, the scriptures, we talked about that in pastor's class this morning about some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they work and everything. And, you know, Paul clearly says to the Corinthian church in his correction and admonition to them because they were doing crazy stuff. It was a crazy charismatic church. I mean, I've been a seen that before. But Paul doesn't say, oh, you're screwed up so much that God's going to take the gifts back from you. No, the gifts are still there. Paul says, but this is how you should use them. And he gives correction to them. And there's sometimes, you know, some things are a little out of order. But yeah, rest assured that we talk and people are teachable. And so Acts chapter 1:8, we talk about being unashamedly Pentecostal. We believe it is the foundation of the New Testament church. Is that this is God's will for the New Testament people of God who have been redeemed by the hand of Christ, shed blood, washes away their sin, the earnest, the down payment of the Holy Spirit inside of them to remake their lives from the inside out. But there's also a second blessing, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that will baptize the Holy Spirit will come when Jesus touches us, and we will overflow, saturate, and overflow with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we will speak with other tongues. Paul says, forbid not to speak in tongues. He knew, I believe, by the inspiration of the Spirit, there's going to be people down the ages who are going to say, tongues, you shouldn't speak in tongues. And Paul says, no, you forbid not to speak in tongues, and don't despise prophecies. Okay? So we have it from the authority of God's Word, which we're Church of the Word. But Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, beginning in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Samaria was one of those places they didn't really particularly fond of, because they were half Jews and half Gentile, and the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans, and the Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews. But Jesus said, you're not only going to go to Jerusalem and Judea, but you're going to go even to Samaria, and you're going to reach those people for Christ, and you're going to go to the ends of the earth, and there are going to be people that you don't particularly care for in your human prejudice and bigotry. But God says, I will give you a love for those people. As I love people, you will love them. And you're going to tell people everywhere about me. You're going to preach the gospel. Can I ask you a question? Because this is also the kind of church we're going to be, a witnessing church. A Pentecostal church is a witnessing church. We're not ashamed of Pentecost, but we're not ashamed of the name of Christ. And there's people in our communities, our neighbors, our friends, our family, our co-workers who need to hear the message of the gospel. Somebody recently reminded me of an old saying, is that the greatest message you can preach is with your life and not with words. And sometimes the example that we set will either turn people off for the gospel or turn them on to the gospel. And they will either respect you because you are a good representative of Christ, or they will disrespect you and say that you have nothing that I want. That's why it's important that we live for Christ, allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse us from the inside out, to live a life that is pleasing to God and is palatable and attractive to people who don't know Christ. They may not understand everything about you, but they will understand that you mean that you're serious about your faith in God. You know, that being said, an unashamedly Pentecostal church relies totally on God's Spirit to bring life and supernatural power into the lives of ordinary people. And not just bring the power to them, but release it through them. Every Sunday morning when we have an altar here and we have anointers down here, when we do a cleansing stream retreat and we have anointers, we have people down here. These are ordinary people who have been redeemed with an extraordinary gospel, who have been saved and washed with powerful, infinitely powerful blood of Christ from cross. And they are filled with God's Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. And God chooses to use imperfect vessels as a conduit of His anointing and His healing power into the lives of people. Amen. And so when you come here to the altars, you come expecting and believing, and God will do wonders. There is nothing that is impossible for God. I want to tell you something. If you are depressed and you are oppressed of the enemy, if life has treated you poorly and you are upset, if you've been treated unjustly and you're depressed, if you are low in your self-worth and low self-esteem, I'm telling you right now that there is a prescription, a medicine that God gives to His people, and it is the healing power given by the Holy Spirit, that He will resurrect life in you, and He will stir the inside of you and make you into a new person. He will transform you. He'll drive every demon of oppression and depression far from you. You have authority to do that yourself. You don't need to go to an exorcist. You don't need to go to a Catholic priest and have a group stand around you and exorcise demons. You have authority in the name of Jesus Christ, by whom you are redeemed and sealed unto the day of redemption, to command demons of hell to flee, and they have to run. We are Pentecostal, unashamedly. But we rely on God's Spirit. It's not by our might or by our power, but it's by His Spirit that these things are accomplished. And secondly, you know, this is something God spoke to me early on in my ministry, is that we are an equipping church. We believe in equipping people through the power of the Word of God and making them aware of the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that they can be equipped to do works that God has called them to do in this season of time on earth. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 spells that out, because it says here that these are the gifts Jesus Christ gives to the church. He gives apostles, prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. They are gifts to the church. Now, Wednesday night, Mike is in the middle of a teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there's been a number of people come out. If you missed it, boy, you missed out, but it's still time to get in on the tail end of it. It's very, very good and very powerful and very balanced and very biblically correct. And what does it say about this fivefold ministries, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? Verse number 12 says, their responsibility is to do what? Is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. It doesn't say it is their responsibility, it's the professional clergy to do the works of the ministry. It says that their job is to equip God's people who are sitting in the pews or the chairs, which whether we have it, or even sitting on the floor in a dirt floor church building, is to equip them to do the works of the ministry by teaching them the Word of God and equipping them and letting them know who they are in Christ and the authority that they have. It is only when the church of Jesus Christ, the people sitting in the chairs and the pews, the lay people, get a hold of and get a revelation of who they are in Christ and the authority and the call of God into ministry, that we're going to have revival in this community and people are going to be transformed and changed, saved, and righteous in their walk with God. It's our responsibility to do that. And so I'm not somebody who said, man, it all falls with me, I get paid to do this. No, I delegate that to Pastor Mike because he's paid to do it. He delegates it to Pastor Diana. No, he delegated it to Nick. Nick, you do it all. After all, I'm just going to supervise you doing that. No, it says that we are to equip the saints, the people of God, ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And so I encourage you to live the life, the exciting life, the adventurous life of a Christian who knows what they believe and knows who they are in Christ and knows the power of the cross of transforming lives. We are a full life church. We talked about that, about the different church styles, that we are a full life church where people, ordinary people, can find Christ as Savior. They can plug into discipleship ministries and grow into strong believers who know and live according to the Word of God. They give, they serve, and they assist in expanding the kingdom of God here at home in Marinette Menominee and throughout the world through missions. And that's what God has called us to do. We are a church that is driven by our mission statement. Our mission statement isn't just words on paper, but it's what we live. We are here to reach people for Christ. We're here to invest in these people who respond to the gospel with the intention of assimilating them into the body of Christ and the Calvary Church. We are here to equip believers through discipleship training to effectively do works of service, and then we release Spirit-empowered believers into the ministry. For what purpose? So we can get glory for it? No, for the purpose of expanding the kingdom of God. This mission statement is on the back of your bulletins every single Sunday if you forget what they are. You need to memorize it. Know that this is what drives us. This is what motivates us. We are held captive by the question of what if. Not by what is, but by what if. What if we would do this? What if we would hear God? What if God would show up in this area? We believe that God wants us to dream big dreams, not little dreams that we can accomplish with our little resources, but dream the big dreams that can only be accomplished if God shows up to help us. That if God breathes into us this incredible dream, that we say, well, God, that's impossible. Up here, we start overthinking and we start logically. Well, what's the price tag? I don't think we have those kind of resources. Well, we don't have that many people. We can't do this. I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know. That must have been me. I must have eaten too much pizza last night. I told them not to put anchovies on that pizza, and they did anyway, but I ate them. And now I'm having these crazy dreams. So no, God, listen to me. God breathes into your life big dreams. You know, you have family that's not saved. Let God breathe into your life big dreams, that knowing that God is powerful and awesome, that he will anoint, he will convict, that he will send people their way, your children's way, your grandchildren, that will be a witness to them, that will lure them back. The Holy Spirit is at work even when we don't realize God is at work. We wonder, where is God? And yet he's at work. How do we know God's always at work? We need to dream Some people forgot to dream. They got kind of complacent and apathetic. They got used to just showing up for services and getting a buzz out of the worship and going home. Well, that was pretty good. And you walk out of here, you're unchanged and unchallenged and uninspired because you didn't plug in all the way. Maybe you need to spend some time. I'm just telling you, I'm not scolding you. I'm encouraging you to spend time at the altar. Maybe you spend some time kneeling at the side of your bed. Maybe going down into the basement where nobody's there and make up a prayer room and an altar, build an altar to the Lord and just say, God, I haven't dreamed for a long time. I've been living on yesterday's blessings. My daughter was driving back last night or yesterday afternoon back from Shadow, and she said I was driving through and I didn't realize that the gas tank was low. And she says, boy, I was really concerned about it and finally got to the gas tank and I knew that by then, I've been driving when that light went on and the ping went on, that I was driving on fumes. And I'm sure she was praying. I've been there. How many have been there? I've done that before. I'm praying, God, let those fumes keep coming. God, keep create new fumes. You know, God, whatever you got to do. But she said, I made it to the gas station. Well, some of you need to go to the gas station, a spiritual gas station. You need to learn how to dream again, how to believe God for greater things. To stop accepting just what is and start dreaming about what if. And I think that's what every church should do. There's many churches that quit dreaming a long time ago. They started living on yesterday's fumes and yesterday's blessings and the memories and traditions of yesterday. And I'm not here bashing other churches, but I'm just saying that it breaks my heart when a church doors have to shut because they've been living on fumes for too long. They have been living on a dream that God has given to them. They forgot how to dream, and even if somebody gave a dream, they thought it was a nightmare. Oh, my gosh. Oh, what would that mean for us? Oh, my gosh, we'd have to change. Well, guess what? Life's all about change. And the kingdom of God is always expanding, changing, growing. And so we need to believe that God doesn't want us to live and serve him believing that our greatness and all is all in our past, but instead that the future is greater than anything we can ever imagine. Look up here on the screen here. The next one. Next slide. There you go. Now to him who is able to do what? Exceedingly above all that we can ask or even imagine. How? According to the power that works in us. The power of the Holy Spirit that works in us. We can't even dream or even imagine. And that is something we need to get a hold of and believe God for. Because why? Because we have a big God. Look up there. We have a big God. Don't tell God how big your storm is, but tell your storm how big your God is. Amen. God is a big God. He's able to do great and mighty things that we can only just imagine about. But God wants to blow our minds. He wants to blow the lid off of your imagination so that you can dream and believe God for greater things. You know, over the years, there's been prophecies and dreams. I said we were Pentecostal, right? And over the years, there's been so many prophetic words, so many words that came, you know, to me from others, but also to me from the Holy Spirit. And I shared one of the greatest ones was when I came back after being gone for a week or two on vacation, and the Holy Spirit told me on a Tuesday morning prayer, go lay hands at the old church on the block walls, go lay hands on them in the sanctuary and prophesy to the walls that they be removed out of the way because you will be a church without walls. And I thought, that's crazy. You know, up here it's like you're a loon, you know. What do you mean lay hands and prophesy as a bricks, you know. But I did it. I was obedient. I said, God, I'm going to do it. And I thought I should tell some of the prayer team. I thought, no, they'll think you're nuts. They think you went to the loony and just got out, you know. But I said, okay, called the prayer team. I said, I shared with them what God just showed me to do. They started laughing. Rose was there, I think. Rose, yeah. And others, Betty was there. And they started laughing. And they said, you know, Pastor, we didn't tell you yet. You didn't have a chance to. But a couple of weeks ago in prayer meeting when you were gone, God spoke to two of us to do that. So I thought, wow. I was kind of offended because I'm the pastor. I should have been told first. I'm the one that's ordained. But, you know, aren't you glad that God speaks? Moses said, I wish that all God's people would prophesy. When people came to him and said, hey, there's others who are prophesying. Well, I wish everybody would prophesy. You know, God wants to speak to us. And that was a confirming word that I wasn't out of my mind. But God was giving us a dream. He was giving us a plan. He was giving us a dream that we needed to dream bigger and say, God, how is that going to take place? You know, what does the Word of God say? Habakkuk 2:2. This is something that someone gave to me, this scripture in particular, and wrote it out. You know, there's more to it. They wrote out what they believe God showed them, somebody I really respect a lot. And they said, Pastor, I don't know. I think now's the time for you to declare the vision. And the Lord gave me this word for you from the Word. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. And though it tarries, wait for it, for it will come, certainly come, and it will not delay. And it was like, run with the vision. Let the messenger run with the vision, it goes on to say. And what God was saying to me is, it's time to take the lid off. It's time to tell the people what God is giving me. And it gave me encouragement to do exactly that. There was a prophetic word that came to me in early 2012 during the early days of our capital campaign, raising money to build this awareness and money to build this building. And I received it during my prayer time when I was concerned about the expenses of the building. The price tag kept going higher and higher, and I kept thinking, how are we going to do this? And God spoke to my heart the confidence of the call, of His call, to this church to move forward and to build and equip all generations. And it says this, is what I wrote down that day in that prayer meeting, is God has not called us to hold the fort, but to advance into the enemy's land. He has not called us to maintain the status quo, but to change and to be dynamic in our reaching our world. He has not called us to selfishly hold on to what we have, but to, with open hands, allow God to receive our gifts and to bring about the purposes He has called this generation of the church to accomplish in this day. And that gave me, boy, it gave me gas in my tank. It encouraged me, and I shared it with the prayer team first, and I shared it with our leaders, and I shared it with the church, because I believe it was a word from God, and it encouraged us to continue on. You know, there was another word that came that I oftentimes forget to date these, but this is what God said. He said, behold, I am the Lord your God who has called you to fulfill my purposes for this season of time. I have called you and I will bring it to pass. I will prepare the way for you and I will fight for you and open up the way for you. But you must step out in faith and believe and not doubt or be taken captive by fear or by worldly wisdom. You must know that I am He who has called you to advance the kingdom of God in this community and to take ground from the enemy and to set liberty those who are held captive by the enemy with the power of the gospel. And God gave that to me, breathed that into me during a prayer meeting. And I don't normally receive words like that. It's not like this happens every time I pray, but there was times when I just was seeking God and just hungry. And all of a sudden, I got my pen out and got a pad from my Bible and began to write the word of the Lord. There's another one that came to me sometime later. It said, be open in your heart to the leading of my spirit. He's talking to me. God, and I think He's talking to all of us, but that was to me. Be open in your heart to the leading of my spirit. Do not be afraid to step out into new territory, to advance into the land of new opportunities to do good. I am the God who opens doors to my servants, and I will lead them into the land of my will. And you know, it's times like that when you need direction that I'm glad I'm Pentecostal. I'm glad I believe and know from the Word of God that God still speaks to His people, that God still breathes encouragement and breathes vision into the soul, into the mind, and into the heart. You know, there's just an incredible things that happen when God begins to speak and God begins to move, the encouragement that He gives us when we fear or doubt, we wonder how it's going to come to pass, and yet God gives encouragement. You know, what do I see today? What do we see today? We talked about the past. We talked about what's going on today. We see God's unmatched faithfulness, that He has been faithful to us. He has been true to us. We live in today. We have a strong and healthy church culture where we are family and feel loved. There's a host of fruitful ministries that are helping people to live the abundant life that Christ promised to them. There's people who are getting saved, finding freedom from bondage and healing and deliverance. The fulfillment of our mission statement is taking place. A brand new, incredibly beautiful building where we have grown and have room to grow is here that we're enjoying today. Aren't we thank God for it? Let's never take it for granted. Great sacrifice took place for this to come to pass and the miracle-working power of God to make it happen. There's love, family, generosity, and the presence of God's blessing in our church. And aren't you thankful for the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit that is here every time we gather? You know, what does the scripture say again? It's where we're going, vision. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens towards the goal and will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come and it will not delay. And we're told to take that vision and run with that vision. The runner should run and announce the vision. We are to be a place where hurting people can come for healing and find faith in God. And what do? We have a counseling office with an incredible counselor. Nick Jackson is such a blessing, not just to this church, but to other churches as well. Pastor Diane is a certified counselor as well in her own right, and she helps as well when she can. But we have people from all different churches and pastors from other churches who are sending people here that have problems that Nick is trained and equipped and has a heart to help them with it. Aren't you thankful for our counseling ministry? We want to continue to maintain and fund and promote and lead in programs and events that will promote healing for people and relationships. There's right now training going on. Many of you don't know this, but there's training going on for a program called Living Free. It's similar to Celebrate Recovery, but it's something our church is being trained for. That we had a training series with Jack Smart from the headquarters who came here and trained a group of people several Saturdays ago. And we are ready to jump in and train leaders for Living Free, which will deal with a multitude of human problems like depression, dependency, codependency, guilt, and suicide, and things like this that need to be up and running. You know why this is so important is because the prophet Isaiah said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him. And this is one of the standards against him, is that comes in like a flood to wash away the enemy, to wipe out his plans and his strategies, to ruin people's lives. Some people maybe fell through the cracks because of a bad choice they made in a moment of agony. But I can tell you right now that God's love remains constant for those people. So training for Living Free, there's the healing ministry that is continuing to mature and to grow and being formed, I believe, by the vision, by what God is breathing into the hearts of the leaders of where God is taking that ministry. You know, there's been people who have been physically healed in that ministry healing room, but there's also been people who have received healing in their soul for things that have just robbed them of their joy and their peace and of their faith and not being what God wants them to be. So we encourage that. And we have small groups, Bible studies, men's ministries, women's ministries, and we want to market, encourage participation in those. We want people to plug in because that's where you learn, that's where you grow, that's where you meet people, that's where you make friends and associates and people who are more than just acquaintances, but you build friendships and bonds that are not going to be easily broken. We have public services and special meetings and dramas and musicals and other special services. We are going to, the board last week we met, are going to finance and schedule a major outreach of Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. I want you to see the trailer of that right now. Evangelistic drama that comes with leaders from that Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames headquarters, with all the props and the sets, all the scripts, an incredible sound technology that is going to make this an incredibly professional event that takes place in a matter of days after rehearsal because it's so easy to put together. And this whole platform will be transformed into Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames, and the throne of God. And it's an incredible, incredible thing. We need a minimum of 25 actors, up to 50 they would prefer, to make this an incredibly great production. There will be 3 performances, and we are going to market this and spend some money to market this so that we receive people coming in from all around the community and from other communities to see this. You know, we had a similar drama and much less quality in early 2000s called Eternity, that there were at least 58 people over a couple of performances that received Christ as Savior. And I believe that we're going to surpass that by far. Amen? This is the year of the harvest, and I want to see that happen. We're going to have all hands on deck, every department, every person here. We're going to ask you to plug in and help with that to make that a success. It's an expensive drama to put on, but I believe souls of people are worth any expense we have to pay. Amen? Amen. So that'll be coming sometime. We have about 3 days looking into late September, early October, and we need to set a date for that as soon as we can get our calendars straightened up and so we don't double book things. But I'm looking forward to that. This is what God has spoken into my heart many years ago, and this year it just came back. Over last year, going to General Counsel and seeing the exhibition hall and talking to Carl Bath, who's the representative for Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames there at the General Counsel, and we've been in contact ever since then last year. But we also want to be a place where children are valued, where children find salvation, and children are discipled on the level that they can understand and enjoy. You know, discipleship doesn't have to be dreary, it doesn't have to be dark, it doesn't have to be boring. Somebody say amen. Children can be entertained and they can feel good about being there and have fun, and yet when the truth is spoken to them, that they can receive it by the Holy Spirit and they can reveal and can be revealed in their heart as they grow in their faith. And it's King's Kids right now. Many of you may not be aware of it, but since the 1st of January, have been going over a major redefinition. They've changed the paradigm and how they do children's ministry there, and it's still being tweaked. Diana needs volunteers, more volunteers she's ever had before to make this come off. So if you have a burden for children, you know, talk to Pastor Diana and say, I'd be willing to help you, and she'll put you on the schedule as soon as she can possibly do that. But we also are going to continue with VBS Sports Camp. It's an incredible vehicle. A tool that is used to bring in children, bring in outsiders and children during that week to participate in sports, but also to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we also have a nursery here. I believe the nursery is one of the most important ministries in this church. And it's because, you know, people, young families will not come to a church unless there's a good nursery that they feel safe for their children. And we need volunteers for that all the time. So we'd like to have those be encouraged to volunteer and to plug in and be a part of that. But we want to be a place also where the atmosphere reflects God's love and is charged by the Holy Spirit. That's why I said last week, I cyclically remind everybody that everybody's a greeter, whether you're wearing a little badge or not. But to everybody, to be friendly to people, to make them feel loved and accepted, to make them feel like they're a part of the family, even when you don't know their name. But God knows their name, and God brought them here by the Holy Spirit. Nobody's here by accident or by chance. I believe the Holy Spirit leads them. And we also want to continue to be a place where we seek God's presence through prayer and intercession and worship. We want to be on the cutting edge of our prayers and intercession, but on worship as well. We want to be a place where the Word of God is honored and as the final authority of our faith and our practice. And in a world where many denominations and many churches have turned their back on the doctrine of the inerrancy of Scriptures, that they have stuck their finger in their mouth and settled up to see which way the wind is blowing to decide how where they stand on moral issues of the day. But can I tell you that God has spoken to my heart from the time I came here, even before I came here, is to maintain and teach and model biblical standards of morality and sound doctrine. To not blow with the wind just because the culture changes. God's word and his standards never change. He remains the same, and we must also. And it doesn't matter if you know that person that's living in that kind of a lifestyle, whatever that is, contrary to the teaching of God. It doesn't matter if it's your own child. It doesn't matter if it's your grandchild. It doesn't matter if it's your siblings. God's word is true. It doesn't mean we have to beat them over the head with a big, great big family Bible. It means we still love them, and we still speak into their lives and tell the truth, speaking the truth in love. Not beating them over the head and not walking around, I believe, you know, walking around with signs and protesting and making people feel like they're hated rather than loved. We need to choose to be God pleasers, not people pleasers, not culture pleasers. Even though our church may lose some people because they don't like our stand on biblical standards, we still need to hold them high no matter what. We need to choose to swim upstream in a downstream culture. And also, we need to be a place where the poor are honored and helped. We have a benevolence program here at the church that is very generous, and we offer assistance as needs arise. We try to discern between outside people we don't know, between them being foolish and careless and cherry-picking from church to church. So we don't want to enable people to live in irresponsibility. So we try to be discerning about that more so than inside. But we want to also increase the support for missions and missionaries. How many of you like missions? I love missions. I love missionaries. And we ought to grow faster than what we're growing in our missions giving. We need to continually support and finance support for parachurch ministries to the poor, including an Abundant Life Homeless Shelter, City on a Hill, Salvation Army, and others as well, because we want to be a part of that and partner with ministries that are doing that. And next I want to do is what I want to accomplish. I believe God has breathed that into my heart so strong. From the time we did this capital campaign, from the time we started way back in 2011 and 12, is that I don't want to take a church that I'm pastoring into insurmountable debt where they have to live hand to mouth. You know, I'm so driven that way, cautious, but full of faith to believe that God has called us to do this at the same time. But I'm careful. And one of the things that I stood hard on and the board supported me is that we have a large surplus in CDs. And if we're going to have a huge mortgage, then I'm not spending that money. Because if the economy crashes, we've got that big mortgage payment. We better have a reserve to cover us until the economy can recover. You know, we didn't borrow money to live hand to mouth. We don't wait on next week's offering to pay that week's bills. God has blessed us here. We've been able to put double down on our mortgage. That's good stewardship, by the way. You have an incredible board of deacons. That is incredible, men of God, men of faith, but they're men of caution and common sense. And so we want to continue to work towards Jubilee, to get this debt paid off. And so that it opens up opportunities for us to hear God about phase two. And Lord, what do you want us to do next, God, now that we're free from this? And pray about that and seek God's face for that. But this coming first Sunday in May, like last year, we're going to take another Jubilee offering that we're going to ask you to be generous in and give. And that money will all go towards that debt. Andy gave a report last week. And in the newsletter coming up, I'm going to give a more detailed report so that you can see where we've come from, where we are today, and where we're going to be. Amen? One of the things is, I'm going to close, ask the worship team to come back because I knew this was going to be a challenging message to get through. I apologize if I'm speaking really fast. But we want to cultivate and continue to cultivate an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is welcome to convict, save, sanctify, and heal broken people who will then grow in their understanding of the Word of God and their relationship with God through prayer and fellowship of other believers. And through that fellowship, we'll love and care for one another's needs and live a life that reflects biblical morality and compassion for the poor that will identify them as belonging to Christ. We want people, when they hear the word Calvary Church, to think, oh, I know that church does a lot of good stuff. Boy, I'm so glad that church is in our community. There was something last December 29th, my family all came home. I have 5 daughters and 4 son-in-laws and 14 grandchildren. And all but one of them, son-in-law, was home during that time. And on our service on the 29th, on Sunday the 29th, my son-in-law, Mark Idle from North Dakota, he pastors there at a church, very, very passionate in his relationship with God. All my son-in-laws are, but Mark has this quiet, just passion. He's not a man of many words, but when he speaks and when he hears from God, it's real. And he spoke to me after the service that day, and he said, I really liked your service. I really liked your message, Tim. And he said, but, you know, God gave me a word during the service for your church. It's for you and the church. And he just said that kind of nonchalant, and I said, really? And so later he gave it to me, and I asked him to send it to me, and he did on email. And this is what he said. He said, I was sitting in the service, and the presence of God was so strong. And he said, God spoke to him that my kingdom is one of continual increase. And Isaiah 9:7 came to him and says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And then the word the Holy Spirit spoke to him about us is, you are on the precipice of a new wave of God's presence and glory. The Lord is pleased with you and your dedication, faithfulness, and sacrifice in the past season and wave. You've brought yourselves to Him, and you've brought your finances to Him. And you built a house of worship in preparation for greater things. You have stewarded well His presence. All of this was fuel for the fires of the Holy Spirit that burned in this past season. Now the time has come, says the Lord, when I desire to bring a greater level of my presence and freedom to you. It's time to put more fuel on the fire. It's time to offer more of yourselves individually and as a body to advance to a season of greater presence than you've ever seen before. The past season has been fruitful, but this season shall be a greater season of fruit. And that's the word of the Lord. I believe in prophecy. You know, prophecy needs to be tested, but this is biblical, and my spirit resonated with this every moment. And what is being said here by the Holy Spirit through imperfect human beings that hear the word of the Lord but are faithful and act in faith to present that word? We need to, as William Carey said, a missionary to India, an incredible man of God, we need to expect things from God and to attempt great things for God. Not just expect great things from God, but to attempt. It's one thing to expect, we're waiting for God to do it, but God wants us to expect it, but then to get busy and accomplish those purposes in the power of His Holy Spirit. Would you say amen to that? Amen. I hope you have a passion and a vision for your life and for your family, but also for this church that you're a part of. And I pray that you have a burden for this church to be fruitful and to multiply. I pray that you have a passion and a willingness and a heart to pray and intercede for this church and for the pastors and the leaders, that we will be right in step with what God wants to do according to His Holy Spirit. And so with that, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads in prayer, and I'm going to ask you to join with me in prayer. Father God, you have done marvelous things in our midst. You have been faithful to us, Lord, through thick and thin, through times of leanness and times of abundance. You have always abundantly supplied all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You have breathed the word of God and a passion for the future into our hearts, O God. And you have written on the table of our hearts the plans and purposes that you have for us. And Lord God, there's a group of intercessors in this church. Some of them are in heaven, looking over the balconies of heaven right now, looking at us and watching us and cheering us on, who are a part of this. And they're seeing brought to pass the things that they felt and saw in their spirit, but didn't live to see it in their life, but they see it now. And God, we trust that that move of God will continue, that favor of your hand resting upon this church to release your favor and your blessings and increase. And God, because we pray for it and we long for it and we expect it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray today for families and for marriages, some who are troubled marriages, that the Holy Spirit would be welcome in that home and in the hearts and the lives of those husbands and wives to transform and change them, to convict and to lead and guide them, to heal them from past hurts and disappointments, to do a new thing, oh God, a new thing, a brand new thing. Lord, to stir up the pot, Lord, of your anointing in the hearts and lives of your people, to fill us anew and afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. And God, oh God, let us live out the dream that you have for our church. May we be good stewards of the vision, Lord, of all that you want to do and accomplish. And God, we pray for this in the powerful, the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everybody said, amen.